From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of March 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, USDA is releasing new country of origin or COOL labeling. Whole Foods says it will label all GMO-derived products in its stores. And China is open to the Trans-Pacific trade talks now underway in Singapore. Dave Dickey will have details of these and many stories later in the half hour, and then I'll tell you how the premiums you're signing up for now, if you're a farmer, for the crop insurance will change from last year to this year in most places in the state of Illinois. You should find them just a bit lower. Hey, and don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check the numbers on this Monday afternoon as they finished up in Chicago. These are closes. The March soft red winter wheat at $6.94. It's actually a settlement price there. Up 3 cents for the day. July at 7.01¾ on its settlement. Up 3 as well in Kansas City. The hard red at $7.45¼ on a close. Up 5¼. Now the corn pit back in Chicago and closes are in. $7.35¼, a dime higher. The May futures at $7.11¾ on its close. Up 8¼. And July corn futures, $6.92½, up 12. December contract, $5.53¾, up 6¾. And March corn at $5.64, up 7¼ for the day. March soybeans at $15.14¾, a settlement price in, up 6¼. The May at $14.79½, settled 8½ cents higher. And July soybeans, $14.54¾, up 7½ cents. The August futures at $14.07¼, 3¼ higher, and November beans at $12.70 on its settlement price, a penny and a half higher for the day. January were the only losers, down a half at $12.72½. Bean meal futures on the afternoon, $4.38.10. They're up $2 for the afternoon. Bean oil at $50.24, 8 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished up the April contract at $128.12½, up 57½. The March feeders at $138.20 were down 77½. The April there up 2½ at $141.37½. This is the Closing Market Report. The lean hogs on the day at $81.15, settled down 87½ cents. Lean hog, and that's in the April and the May, at $89.50, were down 62½. Now the outside markets for the afternoon. Crude oil futures nearby April, $91.96 a barrel, a penny higher. RBOB gasoline at $3.15¼, that's 4¼ lower for the RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline. Ethanol at $2.54¾, 3¼ cents higher on the day. Natural gas at $3.64¼, that's a penny and 7 cents higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.96¼, just about 0.8 cents lower. And the gold futures at $1,578 finished $1.10 higher. U.S. dollar at 82.56 is down 0.12 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Comes to you from the National Weather Service for the afternoon. Scattered rain, snow likely, cloudy, a high of 40 degrees with a west-southwest wind at 17 miles an hour this afternoon. That'll gust all the way to 25. Chance of precipitation is 30% in the area. Mostly cloudy this evening, a 25-degree low. On a west wind at 10 to 15, gusting to 20, and then tomorrow partly sunny skies, a high of 41. It'll be breezy tomorrow with a west wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. That'll increase 17 to 22 by the afternoon, gusting all the way to 29. And then on Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 24 degrees with a west wind at 14 miles an hour. Sunny skies on Wednesday, a high of 39. It'll be breezy Wednesday with a 13 to 20 mile an hour gust to 25. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy, with a low of 25 degrees. Thursday, mostly sunny, and a high near 45 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of a half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy there in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, it is a Monday afternoon on the phone line with us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural futures is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Tell me about the marketplace and what you see and what you think might be happening in the futures markets as we head into the end of the month of March. Well, it seems that Kurt is there, but not available for the afternoon for some reason, and I'm just not quite certain why that is the case. Let me take a look at one more thing. Kurt, are you with me? Well, we'll figure out why Kurt is not there in a moment, and in the meantime, let's just move Kurt around. We'll put him closer to the bottom, not to the bottom of the half hour, but about 8.5, 9 minutes away. A couple of things to tell you about as we move forward during the closing market report. We'll look for Kurt in just a second. One of the items is that tonight, Kurt actually will be right here in Champaign. He'll be at the Champaign County Farm Bureau building, along with Jackie Bakes and Bill Mayer. And Dave Dickey, they'll be there at 7 o'clock tonight, and they'll be putting on one of our Will Ag panels. And then Kurt will return with Dave to Celebrations. That's up in LaSalle, Illinois, on Wednesday night, along with Jackie Bakes, Mike Zuzlow, and then, of course, Kurt Kimmel. That's for a Will Ag panel. Then we'll take a look and see what's wrong with my phone lines, and we'll figure out where Kurt is in just a bit. And put him back on the air. Take about 8 minutes or so. Now here's Dave with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, USDA is releasing today a proposed new rule on country of origin labeling in the Federal Register. The proposed rule changes come after a World Trade Organization appellate panel found last June that the U.S. meat labeling law discriminated against imported livestock from Canada and Mexico. USDA stated that the rule would modify labeling provisions for muscle cuts to require more information on where each of the production steps, born, raised, and slaughtered, occurred. For instance, a steer born in Canada but raised and slaughtered in the U.S. would be labeled effectively in that manner, born in Canada, raised and slaughtered in the United States. For all domestic animals, the label change from product of the U.S. would be to born, raised, and slaughtered in the U.S. Retailers would also be prevented from commingling muscle cuts from different countries in packaging. According to the summary of the proposed rule change, over 3,000 livestock packing and processing facilities and more than 30,000 supermarkets and warehouse clubs would be affected by the change. Whole Foods says all products in its North American stores will have labels disclosing whether they contain genetically modified ingredients by 2018. The company says it's the first national grocery chain to set such a deadline for labeling foods that contain GMOs. Updated official data shows that Greece's economy shrank at a slightly slower pace than initially forecast in the last quarter of 2012, but still contracted by 6.4% during the year. The country, which is dependent on bailout loans to survive, is in its sixth year of recession. China's Commerce Minister Chen Deming says the country is open-minded about the ongoing Trans-Pacific Partnership trade talks currently being held in Singapore. Chen also says that China intends to pursue its own regional trade agreements following the strategy currently being employed by the U.S. Chen says that China is looking at a regional free trade deal that would include Japan and South Korea. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. He'll also host this evening's event at the Champaign County Farm Bureau. A Will Ag Outlook panel, including Jackie Vakes, Bill Mayer, and Kurt Kimmel. That one starts at 7. And then Dave and company will be up at Celebrations in LaSalle, Illinois on Wednesday evening. Light snacks at 6, 6:30 for the Outlook panel. That one will include Kurt and Jackie again, along with Mike Zuzolo. A couple of more events this week, and then we'll begin to wrap it up for the spring season. Again tonight, Dave will be in Champaign at the Farm Bureau Building, 7 o'clock, along with Jackie Vakes, Bill Mayer, and Kurt Kimmel. And then on Wednesday evening at Celebrations at 6 o'clock with Jackie Vakes, Mike Zuzolo, and Kurt Kimmel. One of the Will Ag Outlook panels. You can schedule one just by calling 217-333-7300 if you'd like, or just look on our website for those panels that are near you over on the right-hand side of the page. Look for Outlook Meetings Calendar.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, let's try this again. It's a Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, is now on the phone line to take a look at what's been happening in the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Glad you're with us. Tell us what happened for the day, please.
We saw some higher trends throughout the word go at 9:30 this morning. We traded somewhat stable overnight, but as the day session kind of kicked into full gear, we saw, you know, confirmation of Chinese corn buying from last week there. We continue to see firm cash bids throughout the Midwest, and that along with some fund buying coming back into the marketplace, it pushed the corn and bean markets up towards some technical resistance levels near today's highs. It'd be interesting to see if we try to break on through that or not as we move through the week. And the main thing is to continue to see some buying interest come in the pit to sort of break this downtrend line in the corn that we've been in for a while and try to make some new highs above this $14.90, $15 level in the May beans as we look on back through the deferred contracts, Todd.
Can you take a look a little further out for me to the end of the month? We'll have a couple of reports. So the grain stocks report and the acreage reports are due just before we turn to the month of April.
I believe we'll continue to see some consolidation going into that report. A lot of the trade is quite interested in what numbers we're going to see as far as the stocks goes. That'll give our next benchmark to go by as far as what type of usage and what type of inventories we've been going through here this winter. Then the acreage numbers, that would be the top line on the supply-demand balance sheet here in March. Then as we move into April, we'll start to see more new crop figures come in place using those acreage estimates. Once those numbers are out, we'll quickly turn to the weather pattern. Weather pattern continues to be soggy for the guys in the south, itching to start to do some field work, especially in that southeast area. So there's a lot of things the market will start to focus on, but until we get into end of March here and until we get a little better handle on weather, we feel there's going to be a lot of ups and downs in the futures market between now and then.
What's coming out of South America in terms of soybeans at this time, and can we expect them to be delayed for a couple of months?
Continued logistics concerns. Obviously, we've seen some business come our way here from Asia to sort of pick up the slack. You know, the theory is still logistics. There's anywhere from 60 to 65-day wait to load in the Southern Hemisphere. Therefore, they're backing up ships, backing up the whole system there. So they're not going to have ships sitting there idle, not moving. Shippers want those ships moving all the time. And it's not the fact that Asia's going to run out of beans. It's the fact that they're going to keep those other ships moving, and they're going to, you know, come here to the U.S. and try to pick up some beans here off the Pacific Northwest. But longer term, it's a little concern. Shift the whole world demand schedule back about 60 days, that could start to push this movement into our harvest time window and maybe limit the upside of November beans initially as we go into this fall.
Any concerns for the livestock producers? Switching gears just a bit.
Well, the main concern is export. The export sector has sort of been the cream of the crop, per se. Domestic demand per capita consumption has just been dropping, like a rock, especially on the beef side. Overall red meat consumption has gone down. Poultry consumption sort of flatlined in through here. So it's going to be real important to regain some of this export confidence. Exports have sort of been on the decline here this winter, and that's what sort of limited the rally in the meat sector, especially the beef side. Then also, too, we're seeing a situation where these snowstorms has called the public to sort of back off on eating out, especially along the eastern coast. And there, they've just been bombarded with one thing after another. So it's overall demand picture, and hopefully that will get better here as we get through March into April. Hopefully the weather warm up and we start looking at cookout features.
Well, you have fun tonight in Champaign County at the Farm Bureau and up at celebrations in LaSalle County on Wednesday night.
Always enjoy going out and being part of these panel discussions. It's always interesting what we come up with, Todd.
All right, thanks so much.
Take care.
That's Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Now up next, farmers are worried and wondering just how the drought of 2012 will influence the premiums they'll pay for crop insurance this year. I'll have more as those decisions are wrapped up through Friday of this week. We'll talk with Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist at the U of I. About 80% of the crop insurance sold in the state of Illinois is RP, or revenue protection. It provides insurance against revenue losses and includes a price guarantee. Should the price of crops like corn and soybean be higher at harvest than when the insurance was purchased, the base price set in February, then the price goes higher. Again, RP is the most popular crop insurance option sold in the state of Illinois. You would think the price of this insurance, most other federally backed crop insurance products too, would be higher this season than last year. That won't be the case in Illinois, says Gary Schnitke, despite the payouts made because of the drought of 2012.
For 2013 compared to 2012, and over much of the northern and central part of the state, RP premiums, if we have the same projected price and volatility, will be lower than they were in 2012. And we see price decreases of in the northern and central part of the state of anywhere from 0% up to 7% at some of the higher coverage levels. Those are price reductions. Those are occurring primarily because RMA did a rating study and found that Illinois farmers tend to pay more in than they get out and are adjusting premiums downward.
RMA, USDA Risk Management Agency, is doing some actuarial adjustments to crop insurance premiums. Those rating study adjustments, says University of Illinois Schnitke, are ongoing.
This rating study and the resulting changes in rates are supposed to be phased in over a three-year period. Last year was the first year. This year is the second year, and we'll have another premium reduction next year.
The facts suggest, thinks Schnitke, the phase-in of the adjustment will smooth out the potential premium increases caused by the drought. Those won't be included in crop insurance premiums anyway until 2014.
Yeah, because of the phase-in, and again, droughts, you know, the way the premium structure works, there's a anticipation that you have a drought every 1 in 25 years or so. So those get weighted by their chance through a weather weighting process. So it won't be as large as some people are expecting.
While most of Illinois will see lower crop insurance premiums, there are some places in the state, the southern third, where premiums will go up. The southern third of Illinois is considered by RMA to have paid cheaper premiums over time than needed. That's changing and will continue to do so this year and next. For University of Illinois Extension,
I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. Amy Murray from the Andersons right here in Champaign County is on the phone line with us. Thanks, Amy, for taking the time.
You bet.
Hey, I got a question for you up front, and I don't know whether you deal with this, so let me ask first, do you deal with the crop insurance decisions the producers are making?
We do. We actually we have our own insurance company called AgVantage. So we've got an agent, so we're not personally selling it, but we do try to help out with those decisions and help with the marketing aspect of combining that with our crop insurance.
That part I knew. I wondered whether how much you knew about it. It was more of the question than anything else.
Oh, sure.
And I guess the question I have, because Gary and I wouldn't have dealt with it, would be some of the extra products. For instance, I think you have a product where you can price out via December, January, maybe February, as opposed to just the February month. Is that right?
We do. And actually, unfortunately, the deadline to sign up for that was December 20th, but we did have...
Oh, that was a while ago.
It was. Unfortunately, actually, the deadline wasn't until December 20th for a lot of folks who were able to make that decision after seeing the first half of the month of December trade.
You know what? For some reason, I thought you could still buy into it and probably pay a hefty premium to get into that, but we don't have to deal with that. But
yeah,
nonetheless,
and they probably could charge an arm and a leg if they offered it at this point. So,
okay, well, let's turn our attention back to the cash grain market. How about that?
Sure.
Directly. So when you look at the cash grain market this week and talk about basis, what are your expectations?
Personally, I'm still a little bit bullish basis. Both corn and soybeans, for locally, we just don't have the crop out there. We've seen some commercial movement this winter, but as far as farm found bushels, there's just not a lot out there. So while there is a lot of DP ownership, which would make it hard for basis to rally to the extremes here locally, I do think if there's any corn left on the farm, a hefty premium will be paid for that, particularly by processors. But I do think, regardless, the rail market should continue to improve throughout the summer months, which will be reflected in a posted bid.
Yeah, so through the summer months, and how far deep into the summer months you think we'll get further than we have in the past? So usually it starts to fade at the end of June, into July. Do you think we'll get mostly all the way into mid-August this time around?
Really dependent on what our crop is looking like at that point. Commercials will be willing to take a little bit more of a gamble if there is any type of early harvest, and then depending on what happens when we get to that point, you might see a hot quick ship bid in early August or in the last half of August. But really, as far as it goes coming out to that point, it really depends on what the crop's looking like once we get into August month. But through June and mid-July at least, I think we should continue to stay steadily grinding higher.
Is the bean crop hard to source yet as well?
It is. Not a lot of beans get put in the bin anyway around here, with the exception of specialty, obviously. From our standpoint, we don't handle as much of that. But regardless, again, we're going to be tight. The U.S. is tight in general, which to me would imply a rally in the bean basis as well. Maybe, again, not a significant jump all at one period of time, but a steady grind higher.
And just your spot month bids, please.
Spot month bid, $7.41 cash corn today, $15 even cash soybeans, $6.80 cash wheat.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
That's Amy Murray. She's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Back in just a couple of minutes with the Ag Weather Forecast.
It's National Oatmeal Nut Waffle Day. Waffles have been around at least since the time of the Greeks. The Dutch brought the waffle to the U.S. in the 1620s. The patent for the first waffle iron in the U.S. was issued in 1869. The cast iron plates sat on top of wood or gas stoves. The first electric waffle maker was produced by General Electric in 1911. By the way, the waffle iron was the inspiration for a new sole for running shoes in 1971. The company was Blue Ribbon Sports, which today is better known as Nike. On this day in agricultural history in 1791, Samuel Mulliken of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, received a patent for a machine to thresh corn and grain. He was the first person in history to receive more than one patent. We don't know what the machine looks like. The patent was destroyed in a fire in 1836. In 1845, self-rising flour was invented by Henry Jones of Bristol. The flour was an instant hit. A year later, in 1846, Jones was appointed purveyor of patent flour and biscuits to Queen Victoria. Jones spent a number of years trying to convince the Royal British Navy to use his flour. Eventually, he was successful, but only with the help of Florence Nightingale. And in 2007, on this date, the U.S. moved daylight savings time 3 weeks earlier than in previous years in the hopes that it would conserve energy. The concept was first introduced during World War II in Great Britain as a coal-conserving measure. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Monday afternoon. John Davis from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, John.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, tell me about the weather forecast for this part of the world first.
Well, for the middle of the country, we are in a pattern here coming up that does feature rather cool weather, and that's not only the case this week, but also next week. So, in general, below normal temperatures across the Midwest as we go through this middle portion of March. As for precipitation, we're going to stay in a relatively active mode, not be as wet as we have been the last couple of weeks, but we have a steady progression of storm systems that will be moving from west to east across the Midwest, and about every 5 or 6 days, and as those systems move through, that will get precipitation, some snow to the northern areas, and then rain to the southern areas of the Midwest as we go through this week and also on into next week. So relatively active and relatively cool, the polar opposite of what we saw a year ago.
Okay, and then will there be rainfall in those areas that are on the opposite side of I-35 or the western side of I-35 across to Kansas, Iowa, Minnesota, where it's been really substantially dry and remained that way for the winter?
Yes. Well, the last couple of weeks, that's improved quite a bit. They've had their third system here over the weekend was number three that has put down significant precipitation across those locales. And we continue to have precipitation events kind of lined up going across that region. So, yes, that area of the western Midwest will continue to see moisture and continue to improve their soil moisture base.
You mentioned the delta in the southern region. I think that it might be wet. They've been pretty wet and should be in the beginning of their planting seasons, at least in the deepest parts. Can they get into the fields anytime soon?
Well, yeah, that's one area that will not tend to be as cool as further north. And they will not be as wet as further north. And they've really improved their moisture conditions lately across the region. So in places like Louisiana and parts of Texas and Mississippi and Alabama, they should be starting here to begin to prepare fields and start some summer planting. And that process should begin after the 15th. And so into next week and the end of March, we should have a pretty good start down across those areas.
Okay, turn your attention from the planting season to the harvesting season, meaning we're going to South America. How's it progressing?
It's progressing pretty well. The big news over the weekend was the fact that you did have good rains across much of Argentina, and that is kind of the final event here that really increases their moisture levels across that region, and so they have really seen an improving situation across that area over the past couple of weeks. As for Brazil, the harvest is ongoing right now. No sign of any kind of major delays. They always have some delays at this time of year. It's still the wet season down there before things start drying out in April, but nothing unusual from a climatic standpoint.
Just a quick note on China, as they're in the same position as the rest of the Northern Hemisphere. They'll be planting sooner or later.
They will, and there certainly are some dry areas across China, but that's always the case across China at this time of year. They have a climate that is much more, you know, drier in the winter than they get wetter in the late spring and summer, and so nothing atypical for the Chinese growing areas going into their spring planting season.
Thanks so much, John.
My pleasure, Todd.
John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. If you're in the local area and want to drop by the Champaign County Farm Bureau building out on the west side of town, Dave Dickey will be there tonight with one of our Will Ag panels at 7 o'clock. I'm Todd Gleason.